follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We're live in downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino is a spot. We'll set the show coming up in a second. It's rare, if ever, that we're coming on the heels of a game that finishes right before we come on the air, especially something as dramatic as that, especially when Olympic gold is at up in the air, Pauly. And that goal, USA women won it 2-1 in overtime, skating 3-on-3, as they do when it goes to the extra stanza. They take home gold.
How do you feel about that?
I don't like the 3-on-3.
You don't?
I don't like the 3. Not for the whole period. We need one full period of regular 5-on-5 hockey.
That is a polarizing topic.
Oh, sure.
I think 3-on-3 overtime is like ultimate X bonus streak. I think it's crack, but do you want to decide a gold medal like
that? No, I wouldn't. See, I would go at least one full period 5-on-5, and then you can cut it down to do it. But that goal by Megan Keller in overtime, and USA, they were dead and buried in this game, and they got one way late. They knotted up at one apiece, but that goal is going to be shown 1,000 times in the next hour and a half. Over and over and over again. That's a 10 out of 10 goal from Megan Keller.
Yeah.
And now she is going to go down as an Olympic hero from now until the end of time. If that's a man doing that this like tomorrow or on Sunday for the men's gold medal game, or if that's a Connor McDavid or whomever doing it in the Stanley Cup playoffs, that's going to be shown as one of the most iconic goals ever. I can't get over how great that was for her to be able to the move and then to put it in past the goalie. Come on, that's insane.
That's also would have been an historic upset.
Oh yeah,
Canada was 4-1 to win the game at one point early on. USA had outscored their opponents 31-1 in the tournament. They beat Canada 5-0 earlier. They beat Canada 29-7 the last five and had beat them 7 in a row. You know, this is where we could use Jimmy Vaccaro about 1980. USA against Russia. I don't remember how big of a dog we were, but this certainly would have been a monumental upset if Canada was able to get it done. And you can't give up the shorthanded goal. I mean, again, you only give up one for the whole tournament, but you're on the power play and you give up a shorthanded goal, and could have been the difference.
Yep.
But you score, and it turned out to be a bad beat as well because it was 1-0 with less than 2 minutes. USA ties it, sends to overtime. It is the fifth straight game to go to overtime in the Olympics now, men and women. And then they get the, as you said, an incredible all-time goal by Keller and are able to avoid the choke job.
So when you're watching that whole game, and let's take it, you could go almost like period by period. At the end of the first period, USA was still higher than a $3 favorite to win the game. Did it feel to you after watching the first 20 minutes like they were...
No difference, yes.
Oh, I thought they maybe even outplayed a little bit in the first period.
Yeah.
Now, because the first period ended with USA on a power play, like you referenced there, and it was only like for the first 14 seconds, I'm like, in the three-way market, I like, okay, I think they can win the second period. And I played them minus 110, I believe. Now, you had to try to avoid the push. You hope Canada didn't win, obviously. I played them in the three-way at minus 110, thinking, okay, they have the edge here, big time to begin the period. And then the shorthanded happens, and then they can't lose the bet. And then they come back in the third. They get one late when it matters most, and then to score
the
like that.
Yeah. But at no point did they look like a $4 or $5 favorite
ever in that match.
No, it was. They certainly don't look like the team that won 5-0. So they only had two great opportunities in overtime, and then she cashes in on the second one. The other one was a wrist shot that was a glove saved by the Canadian goalie. But that they certainly looked like equal teams, and they also got the benefit of a lot of power plays late, and they couldn't cash in. So that was Canada was right there. They were game. That's why you got to play the game. No hypothetical crap.
Yeah.
We do too much of this, especially in college football. Well, if they play this team on a neutral, you got to play the game. And you know, to be outscored 31-1 and dominate your opponents, and you thought it was just going to be a walkover and a cakewalk, anything but. And they were fortunate to win.
Plus, the puck line moved all the way up to 2.5 in the game.
Oh.
At some spots.
Yeah.
And so they were taking money. They expected, you know, the betting market expected USA to roll in this gold medal match, and they never got it done. So that will lead us into the games tomorrow. USA is leading, laying 1,000 in their match. Canada is a $4 favorite or higher than that, actually.
That's come down.
Yeah.
USA down, yeah. $9 was too much. $8, that was too much.
And then if we do get USA and Canada in the gold medal game,
yeah,
that's going to catch people by surprise, if for those who have not seen it yet. That is about an 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern time start on Sunday morning. 5 o'clock out here in the West Coast. And then the weird thing, like, I don't mind it. I love, that's part of the charm, I think, is like waking up no matter where you live when you get Olympic sports. And if you got to set the alarm for 3 o'clock in the morning, so be it. You're going to watch them play. But I think just people are going to forget about it. And the weird part about it is they play the bronze medal match way later in the day.
Yeah, our Saturday, our time, and that's backwards to me.
Yeah. Also, the betting handle is going to get dinged because people are going to wake up on both coasts saying, I can't wait to bet this. Oh, hold on, it started when? It's over?
Uh-huh. It's not that moment that you want that everyone's around the TV watching. The 5 a.m. Pacific, 6 a.m. Midwest time really hurts you with that start time Sunday. Unfortunate, but that's because it's match wind up here where every USA game's been going around noon Pacific time.
Yeah, right.
How it's worked out.
I am a big Olympic basketball guy. It's tough to beat Olympic hockey.
Oh, it delivers.
It's
like
automatic.
The first round of the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
It always delivers. And it has done it again. To have back-to-back-to-back overtimes yesterday. And Canada, will you stop with this? This is the best team since 1987. That team had Gretzky and Lemieux. What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And they almost lost. So it, certainly when the pressure's involved and it's squeaky bum time, you find out what you're made of. And that's, again, upsets happen. And, Finland, you can't count them out. They were dead and buried, down 2-0. They were 50-1 to win it. They're the defending champs. And I think they're going to have problems scoring. But certainly I wouldn't be surprised if we see an upset tomorrow in the semis.
Here's what's coming up on the show today. Mackenzie Rivers in 30 minutes. Very good on the NBA. He's going to have a breakdown on betting tanking teams in the association as that sport resumes tonight with a full card, which we're going to dive into. Steve Wiss, best bets in soccer a little bit later on. We have college basketball reaction. We have some MLB bets. We got best and worst teams covering numbers in the NBA. In college basketball, some ROI numbers on the NHL as well. Win-lose coming up in about 40 minutes, give or take. Do you concur on the program today as well? Thanks for watching on YouTube TV, listening on SiriusXM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio as well. I will say that going in, Bill Ady had a good breakdown yesterday in the newsletter, Paulie. College basketball games with a total of 180 or more. This year, they were 10-3 to the under. Last night's game, Arkansas and Alabama, it got dicey there at the end because you still needed points late, but that was trending with a total of 200 throughout pretty much the entire game. And then because of the overtimes, it went flying over the total. That was a great game last night. When I'm watching the game, I'm checking some of these prediction markets. And I tried to get down on Darius Acuff to be a top 10 pick last night. He was at 54%. So when I made the bet, it actually locked it in at 61%. And it went as high as 76 after the game was over with. He had 49 last night. In what world is Darius Acuff not a top 10 pick? What has to happen to the guy?
Yeah.
He's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
I get it, the whole freshman class is, but that was an awesome game. I don't trust Alabama, though, as far as I could throw him.
Yeah. I was going to make the case for UConn today. Then the Creighton game happened.
Yeah.
But now it might be the Michigan Invitational that they found their game. And before we went on vacation, we said, get ready, because this is the brutal stretch for Arizona. Now they've lost two games, and they struggle against BYU and couldn't cover a big number. So it appears there's a big gap between Michigan now and everyone else, and still Arizona's got a great team. But as Joe Lunardi has talked about, the gap between the one seeds and the two seeds is significant. And what's going to happen here with Michigan will get one, Duke will get one, Arizona will get one, and UConn vomited on themselves yesterday as a 15-point favorite.
Yeah, now that fourth one, I think, is completely up for grabs. I will give you this about Michigan, because they had another great game against Purdue, and they get Duke this weekend. So right now, their net rating is plus 39.33 at KenPom, and I'm only using KenPom's numbers going back in his database. It goes all the way back to 1997. Michigan is currently the second best net rating ever in the history of KenPom's numbers. The highest number ever was the 1999 Duke team. That was plus 43. I mean, they were on another planet, plus 43.01. The 2025 Duke team, third highest, right behind Michigan, plus 39.29. The 01 Duke team, plus 37 and change. The 2015 Kentucky team, that was 38-0 going to the Final Four. They were almost plus 37. and the undefeated Gonzaga game in the national title game in 2021, they were plus 36.5. One of those teams I just mentioned won the entire thing. That was it. 99 Duke came up short. Last year's Duke team came up short. 2015 Kentucky, undefeated, going to the Final Four, lost. 2021 Gonzaga going to the national title game, undefeated as well, lost, wasn't particularly close. How about that? So
were they dogs in that game?
Gonzaga?
Yeah.
No, I think they were six.
Against Baylor?
Yeah.
Oh, come wow.
No, because Gonzaga was undefeated.
Well, Baylor was a freight train.
Oh, they were
amazing.
They were. Yeah. People would start. Still, that's one of the best Big 12 teams we've ever had, that Baylor team. But I couldn't believe it going back and looking, trying to put like Michigan's current numbers into perspective. Yeah. Only one team in the top six, going all the way back to 1999 per Ken Pom numbers, won the entire thing. I was startled by that.
Yeah, yeah.
Tough to do.
I know, it's hard. I know. To win six in a row, that's right. Anything can happen.
Yep.
Especially you're going to have a bad 10 minutes, the other team's bombing from three, or a choke job like what happened with Duke. And certainly Kentucky choked too.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Calipari lost his mind in that game. The entire team did for the most part. So we're live in Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Good to be back from vacation. So much to get into on today's program. You can always hit us up on X at VSIN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, and at Paulie Howard. The second half of the NBA season begins tonight, and there is a loaded card to bet on. We'll give you an angle that has hit nearly 60% of the time over the last 5 years, specifically on tonight's card coming up.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
NBA is back tonight. Full card to bet on. Player props, the whole shebang, sides, totals, first halves, all of it, you name it. Zach Cohen, interesting story up today, VSiN.com. The no-fly list, trying to get bets down early. Like, he normally has his NBA betting card available on the website by like 9 a.m. Pacific time. He's writing, I'd love to have more bets today, but I need more information about who's actually going to be playing moving forward. I will give you this. Since 2021, first games back after the break are hitting at 58% plus to the under. First game back. That's for, so that'll be obviously all these games tonight, and then that includes the first game back for teams that are playing tomorrow night as well. So that you could retire at 58%, Paul. That's been pretty good. The Pistons at the Knicks tonight, that's your big boy. Unfortunately, Pistons won't be at full strength. Obviously, the Durin and Stewart suspensions still in full effect. Anunoby is available for the Knicks tonight. McBride is out. Knicks opened up 2.5-point favorites in this game, and they took money. They were bet up to as high as, I think I saw 4.5 earlier today, sitting around 4 in the game. You want to grab Detroit here even without those two guys or no?
Does anybody have Detroit most wins? You imagine what that ticket paid?
Well, before the season?
No, yeah. Oof. Yeah, or even not that long ago when we were talking about plus 450 to win the division. I kept asking Von Tobel, you see it? One seed, you know? And to think they have the best record in the league, what they're doing in the number two defense? I guess it's easy to figure out the Knicks, that they're at their best when they play the top opponents, but how do you lose to Indiana at home? Yep. Then you boat race Philly, and you had another impressive win in there. You blew out Boston, right? Then you had another bad loss.
Wow, we missed that. Were we on vacation for the Philly game? I think we were. That was the ultimate combo of the Knicks taking the Pacers lightly, and the Sixers were back from a huge West Coast road trip.
Yeah. That's why this tanking thing is so tough to break down and handicap.
Oh, man.
Because these teams let down and let up, and they don't respect their opponent. And look at Detroit. They lost as a 17-point favorite to the tanking Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
So this one's tough. But Detroit is 9-1 straight up, and ATS is a dog. I think the Pistons can can win this game.
You know, they
and they've had a lot of success in the Garden for whatever reason.
I think if you talk to every single player and coach on the staff individually and said, okay, so now you really have the number one overall seed in the entire NBA and the best win mark within reach. Like, that can happen, right? Does that mean anything to you? Mm-hmm. I think they would have to say, absolutely it does. This is the team that just set the all-time record for most losses in a row 2 years ago.
That's right. Yep.
And, oh, by the way, if they were to make the finals then, they would get either OKC or any of these teams at home under that scenario. That would be a huge deal. Plus, you know, Cade Cunningham might win the MVP. Who knows? The Rockets.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
There are so, when you look at this now, SGA, Luka, he's got great numbers, but again, the record's not going to be there. Joker and Wembanyama, I think they're all going to not have enough games.
All right, that's where I lean too.
Maybe SGA plays enough, but you might have a scenario where the top four or five guys on the board won't be eligible because they're not going to have enough games.
Yeah, and that to me really includes Joker.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the second shot on the board, and to me, he's unbettable. Now, if he plays every game, he can clearly win it, but that's not a risk worth mm-hmm. taking for mm-hmm. me. The other team's still affected by the suspension. The Charlotte Hornets at home now. This game opened up 1.5 Houston at DraftKings. They're up to 4.5 in the game. No Diabate, no Bridges in this game. This is going to be a tough matchup for Charlotte tonight.
You know this. We've both been in vicious accidents. This one wasn't that bad, but did you see the ball? Car crash.
I heard of it. I didn't see it.
You didn't see it? Yeah. Well, he wasn't going that fast, but he ran into somebody, so he's got to deal with that with the car accident. The other one is the guy's a car accident and a train wreck off the court. I don't know what to make of this Kevin Durant story, where he's got the burner and he's allegedly questioning teammates. And
I'll believe anything with that.
I really would. Because he's been caught before. I know. But it's like, why do you care what Mike and Gary Indiana thinks? You're making $60 million a year. You got how many rings? What are you doing? You got a resort and then, you know, the stuff where he's in the layup line and he's on looking at his phone and there's tweets and they connect it to him. And the guy ripping his own teammates with the Rockets? So he comes out. I'm not here to talk about anything Twitter related. They just played and beat him. And I just think that's just a bad vibe and a bad mood right now. What's going on with the Rockets is they've been a disappointment. And I know it didn't work out for the Hornets when they played Detroit, but they've been on a great run here. You're down a key couple guys, but I don't know what to make of this Houston scenario now. With it feels like it's bad mojo.
Reminds me of the Phil Mickelson stories, right? Where he would be
with fantasy or gambling.
Yeah, gambling between holes.
Yeah,
or like, hey, I hit a shot into the trees here. Let me check my phone real quick and get an update on my games.
Yeah,
and because I got some major bets going down today. I do have a player prop tonight. Did you make anything? Are you also trading lightly?
No,
here?
there's two tanking things that I think are real. And I know there are 9 teams with no incentive to win, as we talked about numerous times. But the Bulls are on a 1-9 ATS run as they had a fire sale. Mm-hmm. And it appears they don't care. And they're finally going to do what they should have done a while ago and rebuild and blow it up. So fading the Bulls and also fading Sacramento. Now, they've taken support in the market here. That's the other thing about it. I'm not really in love with Orlando. And Orlando's been a mess, and I think you should bet their win total under right now. But that went from 11 to 8.5, but Sacramento has lost 14 in a row. Now they're sitting people. There's no Levine, and there's no Sabonis the rest of the year. And then you see they are horrendous fourth quarter ATS now, too. So they're doing all the right things where it's, if this is close, make sure we pull people, let's keep losing, and let's have the worst record. And they are certainly dialed in and locked in there with how bad they've been losing 14 in a row. But then again, I could see where Orlando wins by 6 or 7 or something like that.
Sure. Maybe Orlando and Toronto on a 2-team money line parlay tonight. Maybe.
I like that.
It's always a little scary because you never know based on a lot of things that you've already said. I'm sure there's a book with this up already. I looked. I just haven't been able to find it. And that is, will the Sacramento Kings hit the all-time losing streak for longest losing streak.
Yeah, not bad.
And break the Pistons from a couple years ago. This has all the makings.
Yeah.
I mean, it's now...
If you're good, you're not playing.
Yeah. So here's a player prop that I have tonight. Again, guys have to play. Somebody has to play. Yeah. They're going to score some point. Something's going to happen in the game. And so the last two games shooting, I think they might just keep telling this guy, our best recipe to lose is for you to play as many minutes as possible. Keep shooting because you're horrible. Recent trends, anyway. Nick Clifford was 4 of 16 shooting against the Pelicans on February 9th. The following game, two nights later, in a almost 30-point loss at Utah, he played 38 minutes. He was 1 of 15. And he played, what are we doing here? Not your night, pal. They don't care.
Yeah.
However, he's also gone over 18.5 points, rebounds, and assists in five straight, because despite only scoring 6 in that game where he was 1 of 15 and 10 the game before that, this is why I liked him so much coming out of college, he can kind of fill it up a little bit. In those games combined, 14 rebounds and assists, 11, 8. There's another 8 in there. So I played 18.5 tonight over that at minus 106. Put that on the VSiN website earlier today. I'll take my chances here. Again, it's treading lightly, I think, is the best key here, or the best advice for all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was also looking for, the Bulls are going to have to play guys, right? And maybe they just tell Anthony Simons, who they got from the Celtics before the deadline, yeah, just go out there and shoot 15 threes. And maybe he's a guy to circle moving forward. But also, how about somebody like Rob Dillingham, who they traded for? They acquired him from Minnesota. He's in his, second year? And the kid was a walking bucket at Kentucky, never really got much time at Minnesota. If you're really tanking and you want to, maybe you just want to see what the guy's all about. But I could not, earlier when I looked, I couldn't find Dillingham props. But again, maybe that's somebody to, they'll update before tip time, or somebody to keep in mind moving forward for the rest of the year.
And we're buying into the hype here with the Cavs and what we've seen so far and the good vibe since the trade.
Well, yeah,
because I would say, but our guest is going to talk about this coming up. What do you do when it's a team tanking against a good team? And it's like 60%, 61% bet the over. So you can't lay 15.5, I think, with the Cavs. But I think they get whatever they want offensively and they let the Nets hang around. But again, even though they're playing better ball, the Cavs were the worst team ATS for a long time. But I think, as we talked about, 9-10-1 to win the division. They have the most games remaining against tanking teams. Easy schedule. And they should go over 52.5 wins, adjusted win total.
Yeah.
But I think that goes over tonight against the Nets. That'd be the way to play it if you can't stomach laying 15.5, and I don't blame you.
Okay.
Good. Baseball season is here. And Adam Burke and Jensen Lewis did a great job with our baseball betting guide, your playbook for the entire season, previews for every team, MVP, Cy Young Award analysis, stats glossary, key terms to know. Download the guide right now, $19.99, or become a VSiN Pro subscriber and get the guide included along with every best bet, every host, every guest, the betting splits, the AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the watch app, VSiN.com/guide. Get it now. Great job. VSiN.com/guide.
Mackenzie Rivers has been tracking how to make a profit during tanking season in the NBA. He'll come on the show next and explain what he has noticed over recent years next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
As we were talking about in the previous segment, NBA returns tonight. It's a heavy slate of games to bet on as well. And a slew of these teams in action tonight are part of the 9 teams that are tanking, you think, in theory anyway, moving forward for the rest of the season. So what is the approach here? Mackenzie Rivers joins us in studio. You can follow him on X at Mackenzie Rivers, and he is with BetterDay.com, where he had a great breakdown from tracking this the other day over past several years. Mackenzie, great to see you. Great to meet you. Thanks for coming to the studio today. How are
you? Thanks, Mitch. Thanks for having me on. Doing great. I'm great to have the second half of the season. You know, a lot of people say this is the hardest time to bet a year. I've had the most success because you have more data, and I think you can eliminate some teams that are just in a different category than they usually are this time of year.
Okay, so then that's the success with betting sides? Or betting total specific. We're going to dive into totals, yeah. But you specifically have had.
I've had more success later in the year, in the 5 years I've been a professional handicapper.
Yeah. Okay, all right. And that is that because you want to focus on teams that are in theory wanting to either sit guys in the fourth quarter, they're doing whatever they can to lose games. That's factored in.
I think in general you want more data rather than less. And if you're a team guy, if you're a players guy, then you can look in the summer and say these guys are going to come together in this kind of way. I'm more of a team guy, a trend guy, so more data is better. And I think that's amplified by the fact that all the numbers that say this is a good team trending in the right direction is more important now if you're facing a team that's trending in the wrong direction, because they have incentive to keep trending in that direction and even more so.
So your article's fantastic. How to attack this as well, because we've never seen this before. There are nine teams tanking, and they were starting before the All-Star break. You also had the commissioner come out and fine a couple teams.
Yes.
A general manager told Bobby Marks of ESPN.com, I'll hand the league a blank check right now. If I have to pay $5 million in fines to get the top one, I don't care.
Right.
So that shows you where it's like, well, fine us all we want. I don't care.
Yeah, the day that the Jazz got fined $500,000 for a second violation, it was exactly a year ago they got their first fine for not playing guys and losing game on purpose. Ace Bailey, their lottery draft pick this year, threw the ball off the glass, dunked it, amazing play. They lost by 30. Actually, I think they might have won that game, but my point is that play, that highlight, him throwing the ball off the glass. Hey, this is a 19-year-old that's going to get better, that's doing things we've never seen a guy in Utah do before. That's worth $500,000. That play alone. Just the amount of tickets they're going to sell and social media revenue that they're going to get, $500,000 is a drop in the bucket. It's almost telling the rest of the league, hey, you guys got to be doing this stuff. It's working that well that the league is scared of.
Do you do a lot of live betting this time of year as well?
Yes. I think live betting is an excellent opportunity because teams go up all the time with the style of play they do now. 45% of the league shots are threes. 10 years ago, it was 22%. It was twice as much. So a team getting up 10 points just doesn't mean that much. It just means they had a little bit of a running streak. So if I think this team's losing, if I think this team has a bad matchup, early game leads are often the best time to jump in.
Yeah, and I would say this time of year as well, when one of these bad teams could be hot early, and you can get a much better number than on the favorite and think, okay, well, first of all, that shooting is probably going to come back to the mean a little bit here.
Right.
And oh, by the way, they might sit their guys later on third quarter, fourth quarter, when this team that I want to bet on, the favorite before it started, wants to win their game. So that could be an opportunity to hop in.
I think it's an opportunity to bet on the favorite. I also think it's an opportunity to bet on the total because both teams in that advantage have that point where one team wants to lose that's up, it's bad, mm-hmm. and one team that's down. They both want to play super fast. They want more possessions where that real differential between the teams has an opportunity to shine through. So if you looked at, like, I think the cutoff is 35% winning percentage is what I made. Those teams are not trying to make the play-in. If you're around 40%, you're trying to make the play-in, eighth seed, whatever. If you're underneath that point and you're playing someone that desperately wants to win, both teams want to play super fast in the second half and allow that early game lead to matter less and less. So that's I think, the best place to jump in.
I love the breakdown again. Mackenzie Rivers with us, betterday.com. The point was, when a bad team and 35% or less with the winning percentage is taking on a good team that wants to make the playoffs and they have a much better winning percentage, the more possessions that you play in a game by playing fast means it's the better chance you're going to have to lose that game because you're not as good at scoring points per possession. And if you add another 10 possessions per game, for example, there's a better chance you're going to lose it outright.
If you're playing Phil Ivey in a poker tournament and it was timed, do you want 10 minutes against him or 2 hours against him or 24 hours against him? I'll take the 10 minutes and hope to get a runner and try to make something happen. So that's the philosophy if you want to win. If you want to lose, if you're trying to go and play Phil Ivey and lose a poker game, take on 12 hours. Take on as many possessions, as many opportunities for that differential to show itself. And you could also say, hey, my guys are scoring more points per game. They have more opportunities. That actually does help their development to play fast. Mm. John Hollinger has a great statistic where turnovers as a rookie is one of the best leading metrics to how good you're going to be eventually. So that's on a player basis, but on a team basis, playing fast, making mistakes, it's all good unless you care about winning, which they don't. They actually do, but they want to lose.
Do these fit tonight then? Cavs, Nets, Orlando, and Sacramento over?
Both of those fit the system. I like Sacramento over more because the Magic have been a lot less defensive-oriented recently as they're dealing with injuries. And the Kings got rid of not one but two of their highest-paid players in Sabonis and LaVine. Mm-hmm. So all these guys that make the league that are not All-Stars, they have no half-court game. They have no, like, all right, it's a half-court, let me break down, let me Jokic it, let me see. All they know is, if I hit 40% of the threes, I'm going to earn myself a second contract. Mm-hmm. So they get down the floor and they fire up shots. The Bucks are another great example where outside of Giannis, the rest of their team shoots 53% of their shots from three. They have no other options. So when Giannis is out, and I think they're going to tank the rest of the season if they can, try to get him to play less, all those guys have one mode. So I like Sacramento over. One worry about tonight's games is that there's a good trend. The post-All-Star break, that next game, It's 58% unders the last 5 years. It kind of makes sense. You're off your rhythm.
Yep.
You haven't shot a ball in a while. You've been taking care of your family. So post All-Star breaks a little bit of a worry, but I think the Kings over makes sense.
Okay, so typically, again, you said below 35% against good teams. What's the other breakdown then? Give us when you have bad teams against bad teams, et cetera.
Yeah, so bad teams against bad teams, this is actually an undertrend the last few years, which makes sense because the algorithms that put together the total say these are very fast-paced teams. They play no defense. All right, just like any other game, we're expecting them to go over. I actually think those are the games that a lot of coaches want to win. They want to end their losing streak. They want to kind of save face a little bit against the Wizards. So they play with a little more, you know, formal strategy, a little more half-court possessions, and those games tend to go under. And good teams versus good teams is about 50-50. But I think the real sweet spot is when you're on a very bad team that must lose, like the Bucks or the Wizards, versus a team that's just a little bit better than them. So if you're a 35% or lower team versus a team in that 40 to 60 range, that's over 60% overs the last 2 years post-All-Star break. Because while other teams are working on that defensive strategy and how to slow things down and how to make sense, bad teams are kind of forcing them into a style of play where they're like, all right, I guess we'll match you possession for possession. So bad teams versus decent teams is the best over spot.
Great breakdown. Okay, so then I asked you this during the break. I'll ask you now on the air. Would a money line parlay ever be a consideration this time of year? And I'll throw two games at you tonight. Mm-hmm. The Bulls are 1-9 ATS last 10.
Yeah.
And they clearly want to, they're one of these tanking teams. They want to lose.
They got rid of everybody in the trade deadline.
Yep. And another example would be that Kings Magic game. Kings might set they might break the Pistons all time streak for most games in a row with a loss.
Yeah.
Would you think about like a Toronto and Orlando moneyline parlay, or that's not what you do?
Well, parlays, I want them to be correlated because I would make two moneyline bets. I mean, I know it saves time to do a parlay, but if it's not any particular reason why both things would happen together, I think you could do fine just isolating teams and moneyline betting against them. If there is some scenario where both teams need to lose because they're going to the same draft slot end of the year, that might make sense. But I generally don't think those type of things are correlated.
Okay. But a Magic money line in the over could be correlated to.
Yes, because if the Kings get up, the Magic say, hey, we need more possessions. We need to even this out. And the Kings are perfectly fine to play that way. So with all the youth in that team and with the Magic of playing, that's one of my favorite plays today, which you can get if you subscribe on betterday.com. You would have already known that. You don't have to watch this segment.
Very good.
Like that plug.
How do you rank the tanking teams at the top right now that you want to track for the next 2 months?
I think the Jazz would be number one, but they're so bald-faced with it. They've gotten tagged in that kind of way. I think a team like the Pacers, where they just traded away Ben McMatherin, no one's going to say Rick Carlisle. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. No one's going to say, oh, he lost his fastball lose a bunch of games. So they're kind of perfectly positioned to bounce back next year with the talent they're getting back. And Zubac joining.
I was going to say, if it's 5-9, they lose the pick. Or whatever it is, 6-10.
Yeah,
they got to keep that pick top five.
Yep.
Right. So that gives them even more incentive.
That's
so I think that's a team that's going to really have the bottom drop out at the end of the season.
Okay. I also think, Washington, they're going to be, go ahead.
I mean, they traded all of their talent for two people that are not going to play. It's a masterclass in tanking.
Yeah, yeah.
So the youth that they have has no organization. I think they go have a lot of overs and a lot of losses too.
Yeah. And now, again, Alex Saar is out tonight. I don't know how much he's going to play for the rest of the year. They might just say, screw it, everybody's going to get shut down.
And generally, when they're sitting big men, that's what the Jazz got in trouble. Jaren Jackson Jr., Lauri Markkanen, that's sitting defensive players. Like, in generally, the smaller you are, the more offensive-oriented you are. Alex Saar is a guy that can protect the rim a little bit, but he's not going to do it tonight.
Great spot, McKenzie. Thanks so much for coming
in today.
Good luck
Absolutely.
The
Thank
rest
you guys.
Of the year. Follow him on X, at McKenzie Rivers, betterday.com. Up next, Paul's going to recap a lot of what took place last night. Win some, lose some here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
All right, UConn playing well. Respect the program and the coach and the track record. $1.75 to win the conference. St. John's coming up at home. Revenge, whoops. You lose? It's a 15-point favorite at home to Creighton. Creighton 12-1 on the money line and the over 139 up to 144. How about that?
Yeah, and oh, by the way, I watched so much college basketball last night. That was no fluke.
Yeah.
They no were doubt. Right there with them the entire time.
Yep. Utah money line 3-1. Pepperdine money line 3-1. A&M Ole Miss over 151 up to 157. Wolves Arsenal draw 4-1. Suns have already gone over their win total as well. That's one thing we missed on vacation. Good job by the Suns. And that's an easy cash.
Is it the first team to cash a win total so far?
Yeah. There's some of the close with the unders.
Yeah.
Subscribe, be part of the team, vsin.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. It's been too long. House porn on X. Look at this setup. Are you a fan with the loft type thing? Well, you got the upstairs and the downstairs coming up, but you go down. What do you think? I don't know about that.
I don't know either.
Yeah. I mean, it helps you because it doesn't not... It appears it's not taking up a lot of room, and it's easy where you just kind of come down with the stairs. But
I need a whole like virtual tour of the place.
Yeah,
it appears as if the upstairs is like super narrow and thin. Is that
yeah? That's fair too. Okay. Yeah, off to your left. I don't have a lot of room to navigate there.
No, God, no.
Is that kind of like a mini work area or chill? But and then I'm right there with the bed. I mean, that's the other thing. There's no wall or nothing. So interesting, but a great site as well. On X. Lose some. The 49ers win total is 10.5. They are going to set a record this year for travel miles, and it's not close. 38,000. Week one, Rams, kind of a big game, in Australia. They go to Mexico City. They play the Giants on the road. They go to Atlanta. Not to mention the injuries will be a factor as well. That's going to be hard to overcome.
Maybe they're thinking, let's get as far away from the electromagnetic field as possible for the entire year.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous schedule, and we don't even know the whole thing yet.
Why would you play Rams-Niners week one in Australia? And it could be on a Wednesday.
That's not
a huge game. That could be for the one seed.
Of course it could be.
What's Goodell doing?
I read that.
I go, come on.
This is only the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. We're at 9 and more coming. This is Stan Van Gordon. He's a professional eater. He went into Mama's Pizza while we're on vacation. He did their Supreme Challenge, and you have to eat it in like 20 minutes. Look how big, like he's stacking three slices on top of one another, and he's dunking it. Watch this. He's dunking it in barbecue and ranch. What he's doing, see it right there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, stacking it up, dunking it in barbecue, got the ranch. Three orders of Dr. Pepper on the side, and he put it all down and did the challenge in like 20 minutes. And notice how he saves all the toppings for the end and like scoops the olives and the tomatoes and the sausages at the end.
Oh, I can respect that. Right, because the most difficult part is probably going to be the crust overall, and if there's a lot of cheese, which it looks like there's, a pound of cheese on every pizza?
Yeah.
That pizza looks amazing, by the way. Yeah, it looks humongous.
A cross baby, too. Phenomenal. Look at that. He saves the toppings for the end.
Golly.
Then we had another one. For whatever reason, they just deleted it like a day ago. He went out here to Pink Box. They have the biggest donuts I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He got a 50-count box. And he's stacking four donuts on top of them and smashing them and putting them right in his mouth
this
and eating them.
Same guy. And he ate 50.
Yeah. I watched the video.
Oh, man.
You imagine how you feel afterwards?
No, I have a stomachache thinking about it.
Now, he did spend 20 minutes in the bathroom afterwards.
That's it?
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, that's incredible. All right. That's a good one. How about the dog video? Here we go. Coming in with the groomer. Picking up. Okay. Right. Oh. I got to move. Oh, he's dry humping her. Oh, no. He's coming in.
What do you mean, no? You didn't watch this beforehand? Who's vetting these videos?
That's okay. We can show this.
Oh, my.
No good? Came in, yeah. She's trying to come in.
Oh, my God.
Trying to come in with trim the nail, and the dog came in and got a little excited and was humping the person. Hey, it's all right. Okay, why not? They have to go after a stuffed animal, whatever. Teach his own. Bad beats. Arsenal. This really changes things at the top, and we'll get the meat man's perspective coming up later. They led Wolverhampton, the worst team in the league, 2-0. And they blew it. And they got out of there with a point. But you can't blow a 2-0 lead against Wolverhampton. Sweden was 8-1 in play before they tied it up against USA. Bit of a reach, but still, you go to overtime. And anything can happen 3-on-3. And Canada women were 4-1. They led with less than 2 minutes left. USA ties it. USA wins it in overtime to win the gold. College hoops grind where real bettors find their edge. Dozens of games at night, constant line movement, opportunity for those who know where to look. You're not beating billion-dollar books or full-time sharps on your own. With the sharp plays, you don't have to. Advanced AI, true connected insider sources, sharp action, key numbers, and market shifts before the public catches up. Free reports, alerts, public logs, and transparent results since 2011. Trusted by pros, monitored by the book, sharpplays.com. Own the boards this season, sharpplays.com. Give them a follow.
What else did you notice with the NFL schedule? Or any win totals or anything like that?
Oh, wow. The Dolphins are 4.5.
They're going to be a very bad football team.
Oh, sure. Tua's going to move on. They got rid of Hill. Is Willis going to be their quarterback? Who are they going to bring in and play quarterback? They're going to be bad. Why are the Atlanta Falcons only 6.5?
It's a phenomenal question. Is it because we just are that down on Michael Penix?
Well, I think they're going to upgrade or try to upgrade at the position after what Matt Ryan said. Not to mention they won games with Cousins. They won 8 games last year.
I know.
And a lot of things went wrong. So, and certainly Stefanski coming in over Morris is an upgrade. But 6.5?
I noticed that the highest win total was 10.5.
Yeah, how about that?
But there are like 15 teams at 10.5.
No one has a win total higher than 10.5. The one seed, at least someone, has won 12 games since 1978 every year.
Yeah. So it's also, I think you'd have to go back to when we only played 16 games to when the highest total on the board was only 10.5 because of the recent success by the Patriots, the Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills. It's always 11.5. Some teams have been 12.5 based on the 17-game schedule. 10.5 is going to actually make it for a year where you're going to want to look at probably some of those overs. Because as you said, how many teams are going to actually have... You're not going to be the one seed by winning 10 games.
No, no doubt.
Look at the AFC last year. The 1 and the 2 are 14-3.
Yeah. Now, that's interesting stuff. But I think you also have to go Jets under 5.5. The Jets are going to win 6 games?
So the Jets win... I didn't notice that. The Jets win total is higher than Miami's?
Yeah.
Are the Jets better? And then what about
this? This is risky business, too. I mean, free agency, the draft, all this, moves you're going to make, I know. But I would say Atlanta over 6.5, Jets under. Miami's a mess. You know, the 49ers are 10.5 with that schedule. That's going to be tough.
I'll give you one with the Rashee Rice news.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are 10.5. And when is Mahomes going to be ready to play the game?
Is that what's the landing spot for Hill? KC? Buffalo?
Buffalo.
Dallas?
I would say Buffalo if they would want him.
Yeah.
But do they?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Or so would they be interested in maybe trading for A.J. Brown? I know that's been kicked around a lot. Would you rather have A.J. Brown on Buffalo if you want to bet them in a future, or would you rather have Tyreek Hill?
How about Tyreek Hill in Philly? Can we get Brown and him on the same team?
Oh, you want Brown to stay and Hill to go to Philly?
I would like that.
Okay, yeah. Could Hurts make it work?
No.
How many games last year we didn't complete a pass in the second half? Was it two?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of that was on the OC, too.
Well, for sure.
A lot of it was on him as well.
For sure.
Both.
I was also looking at future numbers overall, and the Rams and Seahawks are below 10-1. They're both around plus 850.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Lions are about 14-1.
Can't laugh at anything that someone throws out anymore. Seattle was 60-1. Sam Darnold just won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have to have elite quarterback play. You can do it with a good coach, great defense, and a big time wide receiver.
Aren't you going to want to wait and see like how it falls overall with the schedule just to find out who has like the best rest advantage and also tie that into the easiest schedule overall? Because 2 years ago, Chargers had that schedule,
mm-hmm.
and that was year one with Harbaugh, and they popped and they were a playoff team. And then last year, the Patriots, easiest schedule in, 30 years?
Yeah.
And they made the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think that might have to be a factor in, you know, going into it as well.
Bears were 9.5.
Yeah. Look at their opponents. How many games did they eke out at the end?
They set a record. most wins when trailing the last 2 minutes.
Tanking can't be stopped in the NBA. Or can it? Do you concur? Coming up next here on Follow the Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.